Hello, welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, post-nuclear podcast, episode 117. I am your host, Vince.
And I'm your cash-on-arrival host, Olive.
What it be, what it am, what it is, what it do, friend.
I'm just giving you some ASMR of me drinking my mocha from my little hedgehog cup. My voice is killing me, and I don't know why, because I've spent basically the last 3 or 4 days doing next to nothing. And it's just like, I don't know what's going on.
What do you think happened?
I don't feel sick in any other way. It's like, I don't feel like sinuses. It might be like allergies.
Well, you weren't here last week. You feeling better from then?
Oh, well, that was a separate thing. I was helping my friend make dinner for her birthday, and I just passed out. I fell onto the floor, and my seeing and hearing stopped working, and it was really scary. But I'm okay from that. I swear I'm not falling apart.
I've got this
really cute ponytail today.
What'd you do?
I've got a cute ponytail in today.
Oh, good for you.
What about you, friend?
Not much. The world's on fire, so you can't do anything. I spend my time by hanging out at a train station. So.
Like the Bad Boys in some kind of novel.
I guess.
For me, I'm just... I'm being the stereotypical, like, computer nerd. Just, like, basically sitting in front of my computer trying to do schoolwork, but I end up doing other stuff.
I really want to, like, play something, and I just don't really want to at the same time. Like, I tried playing Fallout 4 the other day, and I popped it in. It was, like, the first time I loaded a certain save since, like, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want to play. I played it for, like, 10 minutes, and I was in Nuka World, and I didn't remember anything of that save, so I just turned it off.
Yeah, I want to play the Batman games again, though. Oh, yeah, that actually sounds, like, awesome. You should stream those.
If I could, I would.
Oh, don't you have them on Xbox or PlayStation?
I'm on PlayStation, but it's a hassle to do Twitch through that.
Yeah. I, for the most part, have just been playing Final Fantasy XIV still. And I've been doing a lot of different stuff. I've been mostly doing the main quest of the first expansion. It's called Heavensward. It's really, really cool, and I like it a lot.
Cool.
While I'm at it, my paladin is at, like, level 54, I think. My red mage's at, like, 65. I'm, like, I'm cruising. I'm doing good.
Good shit. I'm not into the MMORPGs. Yeah. But hey, let's jump into this lore.
Yeah, today's lore is going to be freaking awesome because it's one of my favorites.
It's the we're keeping with the trend of doing all the protagonists in order, and right in front of me I have the lore for the Courier. There's a lot of just, like, little bits and pieces here. It's, like, mostly a bullet-pointed type thing. So we're just going to go through it. We're going to fuck it up.
Yeah,
you ready?
Well, shoot. Yeah, do it.
Most of the Courier's past is shrouded in mystery. What is known is that sometime before taking the fateful contract to deliver the Platinum Chip, the Courier lived as a drifter, earning a reputation as a veteran on the trail who had traveled all over New California. According to Ulysses, the Courier has been to Circle Junction, New Reno, Vault City, Fort Abandon, and on Brahmin Drives at the Big Circle. The Courier has some sort of connection to the budding community of the Divide in Southern California. Ulysses claims that the Courier regularly traveled through the area and contributed a great deal in keeping it alive. After the New California Republic attacked and sacked Navarro, they recovered pieces of tech they didn't fully understand but recognized several symbols, such as an old world flag. They later link these symbols to similar markings they saw on the divide. The courier took on the job to return it there, perhaps because the markings reminded them of home. But after making the delivery, the package turned out to be a detonator that contained missile launch codes. Access to Ulysses' package woke up and sent directional signals to missiles locked in the silos, resulting in massive earthquakes and powerful storms wiping out the community in its infancy, leaving Ulysses as its only survivor. The courier was apparently not present when the destruction happened and therefore didn't know of it.
Ooh. I've never played Lonesome Road, so I really don't know much about that.
Really? I guess this is where the Twisted Hairs are from, then. Because I know about them, but I don't know a ton about them. In 2281, the courier was one of six messengers hired by the Mojave Wasteland to deliver packages to the New Vegas Strip. With the courier carrying a parcel containing the only item of worth, Robert House's platinum chip, delivering it all the way from near Hub, California, the courier got the job after Ulysses pulled out when they learned that the courier's name was next on the list. The courier was intercepted by Benny, who then shot the courier in the head twice, left him for dead, buried him alive in a shallow grave in the Good Spring Cemetery. The courier was dug out by Victor, a friendly Securitron, under the control of Mr. House. The courier was then nursed back to health by Doc Mitchell, the resident doctor of Good Springs. Now, all of my lore that I'm getting, I get off of fallout.fandom.com. That's pretty much the front of it.
The front of it?
The front most.
The gist, even?
Yeah, some might even say the gist.
Love a good gist.
Holy shit. The guy who did the voice work for the courier, like the grunts, is Yuri Lowenthal, who wound up being
that name.
That's the dude who voiced fucking Spider-Man in the new Spider-Man game.
No shit.
And he's fucking Matt Miller in Saints the Third.
That's where I know it from.
He's Crawler Spicers. Matt Miller, dude. Yeah, dude. Let's see what else he's in here. He's in Persona 3. He's in Naruto. He does fucking Sasuke in Naruto. That's fucking funny.
Oh my goodness. Incredible.
Wow. And then Laura Bailey does the female.
Laura Bailey does every single in every game. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. She's Abby in The Last of Us 2. Like, someone was talking to me about Naughty Dog games, and I was like, all right, well, it's going to be Matt Mercer, Laura Bailey, what's his name? Nolan North, and who voices Joel?
Oh, shit.
Oh my god, I can picture your friend.
It's the guy
saying
that does everything.
Yep. God, I can't think of his name. Oh, I can hear him singing Pearl Jam, but I can't think of his fucking name.
You can hear him singing Pearl Jam.
Yeah, in The Last of Us 2, there's like a big like part of the like the game is Joel singing Pearl Jam. And I didn't know it was a Pearl Jam song, and I fell in love with the song because of the game, and then I was just like, oh, it's Pearl Jam.
Like a Pearl
Fuck Pearl Jam.
Jam.
Dude, there's a fucking Pearl Jam song that I always hear in the car, and
Troy
it's
Baker,
on...
Troy Baker, dude.
Troy Baker, yeah.
Dude,
I always hear this
one everything.
Fucking Pearl Jam song all the time, and like, now it comes on all the time, and I'm just sitting there singing along, and I fucking hate Pearl Jam, whatever. Yeah. Laura Bailey does all the type shit
for
the female.
All the Steve Minecraft noises.
Yeah. I should make that my ringtone. But yeah. Hold the fuck up. He does the courier, but he also does Ringo.
Wait,
holy shit.
What?
Yuri Lowenthal. Does Ringo, does Sergio, does, who else? NCR engineers, heavy troopers, mercenaries, prospectors,
so
rangers.
They did a proper Bethesda by hiring only three voice actors.
Yeah, I wonder how many people... I wonder how many voice actors were in it. But yeah, he's credited as, like, Lars Target, Who else is here? Billy Bettis, Jeremy Watson, Rick Lancer, Thomas Jackson, Tapper, Brotherhood of Steel Initiates, Drunks. He did Drunks.
Drunks.
Drunks. All right. So here's some some information through dialogue, and this is what kind of I don't understand, because I'll be the first person to say that Fallout 4, and check that off your bingo sheet, I bitch about Fallout 4. Fallout 4 shouldn't have had a backstory. Your character shouldn't have had a backstory. But the courier does, and we're okay with it. But then, like, someone will be like, oh, backstories in RPGs shouldn't be a thing, and then I bring up
like
the home...
You.
Yeah. And then I bring up the Homebound Mother series, and I'm like, these are considered to be the best RPGs ever, and they all have backstories. So, I don't know. During a conversation with Bruce Isaac and Novak, the courier can state that he's been to New Reno before and attended one of the shows at the Shark Club. Dialogue with Little Buster suggests that the courier was a bounty hunter, or at least experienced bounty hunting. Now, a lot of this, like, is to just build up your character for what kind of character you're playing. I get that. Mm-hmm. So,
to kind of give them a little bit of, like, a repertoire of skills before they go off on their adventure.
Yeah. The courier is initially unaware of the rarity of the Sunset Sarsaparilla bottle caps, as Malcolm Holmes says the courier did not express any emotion upon finding the first one. Even if the Brotherhood of Steel from Hidden Valley...
I love doing that. I love killing that fuck.
And
every
you get like
time.
Eight of them? Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if the Brotherhood of Steel from Hidden Valley have not made contact, the courier has heard of them when conversing with Veronica San... Wow, I didn't know that was her last name. Santiago for the first time.
Isn't it Santiago?
No, nah, it doesn't say Santiago. It's got a G there. I'm going to say Santiago. Hmm. Unless the wiki's wrong, maybe. Because there's actually not a way
wrong.
To click
on her
name.
I haven't
played
New Vegas in a couple years. I need to do another playthrough.
You should. If you do, you should stream it.
I should.
When you interact with Christine and Dead Money, the courier is also seemingly aware of the technology obsession and the codex with the hostility of the NCR and the Legion. It can be inferred during dialogue with Veronica, the courier does not know where they came from. The courier can tell Cass that they, the courier, do not know what fish is, or on the contrary, an intelligent courier may test her knowledge about fish, clearly aware of their nature, although they are practically non-existent in California or the Mojave Wasteland, and may only be found in Lake Mead or Zion Canyon. That's super neat.
I never thought about the existence of fish in Fallout.
Hmm. Neither did I. I mean, I know horses don't exist, but I just thought that was like a limitation due to the engine.
Yeah, they didn't have enough power to make their balls shrivel when it's too cold.
You know what's so funny about that? I made such a big deal about that, and then because I pre-ordered the game, I got like some special horse. Well, I hated the game, yeah. But when I pre-ordered the game, I got a special horse, and then it wound up being female, so I didn't even get to see it. In Dead Money, it is implied that the courier does not know what FEV is through the interactions with Father Elijah. Further conversing with Elijah, when he mentions the Big Empty, makes the courier claim they've never heard of it before. Before setting off to New Canaan, the courier can tell Jed Masterson... That's such a fucking white name.
Oh, I know. It's so Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Jed Masterson... The Mormon. I wear a special piece of underwear that covers my entire body. It's not me making fun of people. I promise you it's not. They have not been to Utah in some time, suggesting that they have been there before. This also explains how the courier knows of the dead horses and the sorrows language, which itself is implied by a dead horse scout who remarks upon being spoken with, "You know our tongue. Smart, Auslander." That's another reason why I love Donna's heart so much, is like, Auslander is just, like, that mixture of, hey, we don't really know how words work because humanity was wiped out. Fucking, oh my god. Dialogue choices throughout.
I just couldn't get into it.
What?
I just couldn't get into it.
Really?
I felt like it was too slow for me.
I met up with Chris today, who we play Atomic Tabletop with. And
check that out. It's my D&D show.
Hell yeah. How's the editing going?
It hasn't.
Well, fuck it up. And we got into a whole conversation about religion in D&D, which we're going to talk about later, Microsoft owns Bethesda, what they can do and what the next Fallout game should look like. And I was saying that we need a she game. And he was like, I don't know about the she. So that was a 45-minute dissertation for me.
She would be so cool to learn more about. Yeah. We've talked about this a couple times on the show.
Yeah. And then we were talking about what if we can do like Fallout Salt Lake, because the White Legs have destroyed Salt Lake City because Kaisar was like, hey, remember Joshua Graham? Fuck him. Blow up his hometown. Like, and I just thought it'd be so cool to see.
Yeah, that covers it.
Yeah. I was like, I think it'd be so cool to see what Salt Lake looks like, what Ogden looks like, parts of New Canaan, like what it became and what it would happen, even though I'm pretty sure it's in Zion, but still.
I definitely, if I had to choose a next game, it would be something on the West Coast.
Yeah, yeah, either the West Coast.
I want to see something in, like, Oregon and Washington, like Arroyo, and, like, all the way up as north as Seattle.
I would like to see a game, if they can make it as big, where the big city, like, one of the big cities in the south is Arroyo, or New Arroyo, technically, I'm pretty sure, and then the top city that's, like, in the north, west would be Seattle, and, like, right on the edge of Canada, like, you could just kind of...
Snowy part in the north part of the map.
Yeah, we should do an episode on this. We should do an episode
where we sit down
and write our next game, because mine takes place in New York. Because I'm surprised we've never been there.
Yeah, true.
But I do very much.
I mean, there's
already
people doing Cascadia, so.
Yeah, I guess, but you know. It's not
we know how Bethesda is with their DMCA takedowns.
Yeah. Dialogue choices throughout Honest Hearts heavily imply the courier has never heard of Christianity, or at least the Mormon faith. In Old World Blues, the courier is revealed to have a special brain condition due to being shot in the head just in the right spot and surviving. So, you know. After
God,
Old World,
I wish that were me.
The courier has a high understanding of Robco technology, and Honest Hearts, a courier with a high science skill, can call out Ricky's incompetence with his locked pit boy. In Old World Blues, the courier can recognize the Robco signals that Dr. 8 transmits. The courier has very limited knowledge on the Midwest. When Eddie from the Divide plays the log where a child found it, asking where it occurred, we have Eddie responds with Chicago, Illinois. The courier knows about Illinois if they had met Mojave Eddie. Illinois? They don't know what Chicago is. They say, what's a Chicago? I don't like the way this is worded. Yeah. An intelligent courier has at least passing knowledge of snipers and spotters, as Boone can be recruited by simply noting that snipers are supposed to work in pairs. As a male courier with the lady killer perk, can ask a lonesome drifter is 17 and express relief after the drifter says he's 28, implying the courier impregnated or believes he impregnated a woman in Montana around 18 years ago. Huh. What the fuck's going on in Montana? The courier has...
Dog? I have no idea.
I'm fucking curious.
Those flyover states that we know nothing about.
I know. I want to know more about them.
What are they at? Rocks?
Yeah. Rocks and Brahmin. Some big open land.
Yeah. And probably Caesar.
No, I don't think he went north.
No?
I think it's like the tip of the northern tip of Texas, like where Colorado and Texas touch, from there all the way to the dam. Like that's Kaisar's territory. Ooh. From Colorado to the dam. I could be wrong. I might be. It appears the courier is irritated with the mentioning of Benny during the conversation with Emily Ortal, who worked with him, she claims to understand that the courier does not wish to speak about him. An intelligent courier can understand and speak Latin. During Silas'
really?
Treatment, the courier can deceive Silas into thinking that they are a Legion assassin by speaking a Latin phrase. However, the courier's knowledge of the language may be limited, as they do not understand one of Arcade Ganon's Latin phrases. Dialogue with
Raoul. That's still really fucking cool.
What's that?
I never, like, put two and two together about that. That's really cool.
Which I think is cool because it could be like, are you fucking Legion? Were you Legion to begin with?
I don't know. I think that leaves a lot to think about when in terms of thinking about the character's backstory. And I think that's an interesting option to allow.
Yeah.
Even if it was unintentional.
Yeah. Yeah. Dialogue with Raoul shows that the courier has a passing knowledge of Spanish.
Is that because of the Cazadores? Isn't there like a dialogue option that's like, that you get to like figure out what Cazador means? It means hunter, right?
Yeah, but I think it's probably if he's been all over the NCR, the NCR dips into Mexico. I'm looking at a map of the NCR right now, and it dips into Mexico. Is that Arroyo? Arroyo's up there. Yeah.
Arroyo's way north.
See, I don't like that this one doesn't show me the states because I'm just not good with geography to begin with. I'm trying to get an idea for where Montana is too because we were talking about it. There will be a map on screen. But yes, the NCR dips into parts of Mexico, so that's why I'm guessing he has a passing knowledge if he's been all over the NCR. So after Hoover Dam, it is stated in the endings for Old World Blues that the years following the Second Battle of Hoover Dam that the courier returned to the Big MT, or Big Mountain. I don't like saying the Big MT.
I like saying Big Mountain.
Yeah, me too. Return to the Big Mountain and watch
over... The Big Mountain.
Big Mountain in my backyard.
Can you afford to feed him?
It's very hard. He returned to the Big Mountain and watched over it, keeping a close eye over the scientists and goings on of the facility, with gradually reintroducing science both forgotten and new back into the wasteland as needed. Not huge on that ending because I don't like Big Mountain. I don't like Old World Blues.
I do like Old World Blues, so.
No, I mean, you can like what you like.
And you can not what you're not.
Yeah. Now I just have some notes, some fun facts.
Ooh, hit me with some fun facts.
In one of the endings for Dead Money, the courier can become trapped in the Sierra Madre vault and eventually die there. However, since the events of Dead Money must take place before the Second Battle of Hoover Dam, this ending is non-canon as the courier's true fate sees them taking part in the battle.
I actually, the first time doing Sierra Madre, got that ending.
Really?
Where you die in the vault, yeah.
Yeah.
Which ending did you get the first time you did it?
Probably that one. Probably that one, or just the one where you leave, like nothing special happened, because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Well, because the first time doing Sierra Madre was on one of my fun characters. Mm. I was a cheater pumpkin eater, and I got out with all the gold.
Oh, nice.
And it is pumpkin season, so I'm glad to be a pumpkin eater at this point.
The courier was shown wearing an armored Vault 21 jumpsuit during the Fall of New Vegas previews and in the ending. However, this item does not appear in-game and can only be obtained using console commands or having the J. Sawyer mod installed. I'm assuming that's the J. Sawyer mod. It just says J. Sawyer. So I'm going to click on that because I know that is a...
That's a good lore, the J. Sawyer mod.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it where you have to, like, eat, sleep, and drink. Mm-hmm. It makes it where all of the DLC weapons are no longer just given to you. You have to go out and find them.
Which I like.
Yeah.
I mean, I also do like the prospect of, like, welcome to New Vegas. Here's a million weapons that you can immediately sell for caps and then take a high luck run. The last time I played, I did that. I only kept a pistol sold all the random shit they gave me and did high luck and just figured out everything from there. I think I might do that after I record, because I just... And by the time I'm done recording, I'm going to have drank an entire pot of coffee.
Nice. You're going to get more now?
No, I have my pot with me.
Oh, okay.
But don't tell any officers.
The Courier and the Chosen One are the only protagonists that in the mainline Fallout series that haven't lived in vaults. This Courier does not suffer from amnesia after being ambushed by Benny. He doesn't?
No, he doesn't. If you think about the way that the opening of New Vegas is kind of crafted, basically Doc Mitchell only asks you things in the kind of like in an affirmative way of like, oh, you're awake, like what's your deal? And then you define yourself basically instantly as a character. You go through the machine for your special, and you do the test for your skills, and it really makes no assumptions about you at all. So, like, I'm trying to like figure out how to like, say it, but
Josh Sawyer's official statement.
I would love to hear that, because my words are a little bit mishmashed.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the context for this is, but he goes, well, he's incorrect about the Courier. You absolutely do not have amnesia. There is no point at which you're unable to remember aspects of your past, and more importantly, outside of being a courier in the wrong place at the wrong time, your past is considered irrelevant to how you move forward in the story. I guess. I always assumed that you had some form of memory loss, or at least a fucking screaming headache from getting shot in the head twice.
Well, I assume that there was a screaming headache, but I never assumed that there was any amnesia, because your character doesn't really express that in their character creation setup.
If you... sure. I don't know, dude. I don't know. I don't pretend to know. I don't act like I know. I just sit around and, you know... Originally... Oh, this is a fucking behind the scenes that I think is incredible. And it bothers me. Originally, the player would have been able to choose the Courier's race. Obsidian planned to have other options than just human, ghoul, and super mutant as well. However, Bethesda strongly advised against on the basis of reworking armor and weapons for each race. Obsidian followed Bethesda's advice and left the Courier as human. I just want to play as a ghoul. I'm not tired or upset. I'm sorry.
I think that it's kind of a good call that they cut the ability to be a super mutant, because that's a whole different set of models, politics, and it would have substantially increased the size of the game. But I don't see why being a ghoul would have been a problem, seeing as it's still a small to medium-sized humanoid. So, like, the armor could have potentially still worked. I would say if New Vegas was created nowadays, it would probably allow you to choose ghoul from a technical standpoint.
Whatever game comes next, I think you have to allow it. Maybe not, like, it depends on if you're born inside of a vault or if you're coming from a vault or if you're not. Like, if Fallout 5 or fucking Fallout Ogden or Fallout She-topia, whatever the fuck they're gonna make. If you're not in a vault, I think they should allow you to choose. If you walk out of a vault, I think they should allow you to become irradiated to the point where you can become ghoulified.
I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, because
especially if it was like a quest line that you had to do, that'd be really fun.
Yeah, but make it a quest line where you have the option. You know what I mean? Not like, oh, I did this quest and now I'm a ghoul. You know what I mean? Or maybe
like
one
if
of those
it were
like
more of like a weighty choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, now that Obsidian might have some sort of opportunity to work on it again, we might get some, like, choices.
And maybe even dialogue options.
Oh my god, yeah. But yeah, I think don't make it where it's just like, I was talking to someone who I, like, barely ever speak to, I saw on Instagram, we're putting up pictures about doing the Thieves Guild quest in Skyrim, and I was like, don't finish it or you lose the skeleton key. I've never finished the Thieves Guild questline in Skyrim. because of that.
I did it just to say I did, and also, like, oh no, the Skeletonkey's really not that important to have.
Yeah, but then
at that point in the game of being at the end of the quest line, you already have enough not bobby pins, lockpicks that it doesn't really even matter. Because you can fuck up a million times and it doesn't matter in Skyrim because it's basically impossible to fail unless you break the lock by like forcing it.
But that's why I like keeping the skeleton key, because then all I do is I just take lockpicks and I start selling them, and then I'm like infinite money pretty much. Because I don't think they have a barter like they do in Fallout.
I'm also good at the lockpick minigame, so I guess it's like a trade-off if you just feel like being lazy about doing the lockpicking minigame, or if you're bad at it, then I guess it's worth it. But for me personally, I never considered it to be worth it to like keep having it and not finish the quest.
Yeah. So I think that's everything on the courier.
That was a decent chunk.
Yeah. If anybody has a complete version of the New Vegas Collector's Edition, let me know, because I don't have one.
Oh, I would love to have one. Too bad I'm too poor right now to buy one secondhand.
I will buy one. I need one.
I want a platinum chip. That's just like, that's what I want. I just want the platinum chip.
I want the comic. I've never read the comic. The coasters, I don't know if the dice
playing
came
cards
with
are also super cool.
Yeah. I want the DVD, the making of DVD. He's saying it's a Blu-ray. I don't know if it's a Blu-ray. But, the collector's edition on the PS3 is a Blu-ray. Like, I just want... I mean, I've seen the DVD because it's been ripped to YouTube, but still.
I've actually never seen it.
Really? It's on YouTube. The chips are awesome. The fucking platinum chip, the postcards, all of it. Super cool shit. There's t-shirts that were given out. Like, I'm on the thing right now, and there's a bunch of promotional items that I found. Like, there's the picture of all the cards. I remember the night of... This was the first midnight release I ever went to. Was
Vegas. I remember you tell that story all the time.
Yeah, and I remember going to GameStop and being like, hey, do you guys have any more of those NCR shirts? And they're like, no, we only got X amount, and it was for us to wear on the midnight release and this and that. This is saying that they were given out on the GameStop rewards points thing for a while, but I don't remember that. But this was the first one I ever went to. There'll be a picture of this shirt somewhere.
Look what I just found on the Evil website. I just sent it to you in Host Lounge.
On the Evil website? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, like no, now? No, no.
Oh, the chip itself? How much? $64?
And $5.
What kind of price gouging shit is that?
Oh, it's price gouging. It's probably a secondhand.
Motherfucker wants $292 for everything but the game. Fuck that. You can get the whole thing, like, opened, but with everything for $100 on eBay. Dude, fuck Amazon. All my homies hate Amazon.
It's true.
For any Fallout fan, I just loved it. It's for any Fallout fan. I just had to have it when I saw it. Came perfect condition too. Fallout nerd right here. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm a gamer.
I'm a real gamer. There's still no fucking Fallout.
Oh, you can
flag.
Get super cheap replicas on Etsy for a lot less.
Really?
Yeah. I found one for $15.
I'm so upset that I never got this. Like, I just didn't have the money for it. I was just a little, tiny little boy.
Yeah.
Like, there's a sealed version.
Imagine you, tiny.
There's sealed versions right now on Amazon for $249.
Oh, that's so
much. But, like, for $50 more, I can get an S. The Fallout Anthology, which I didn't buy, and you have for the Nuke. $200.
Really? $200? I remember they were selling them for like $45 at one point.
I know. Dude, the collector's edition for Fallout 3 is on here for $80, which really isn't that bad because it probably
That's
came out
bad.
at $80.
And I have it. It comes with the game and all the cool shit.
Why is the PlayStation version so much more? Yeah. The 360 version is 80. Well, probably because...
Well, why would the PlayStation version be more? It's the worst version.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me.
And then it's 170, and then the PC version is $500!
Lovely.
That's the version I have!
Oh, is it?
Yeah, holy shit!
That doesn't mean that people actually are going to buy it for that much.
No, I know, but I'm thinking if I could sell it for four open, I can buy a Xbox 360 version and then New Vegas's version.
Ooh,
all right, let's get out of this. Let's get out of this lore. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about. We got distracted. Welcome to Olive and Vince Go Shopping. God damn, I love this fucking game. Let me go back to the recording. All right, cool. Anything you want to say about the courier?
I do not want to say anything about the courier except that I am happy that they got shot in the head. Because they put into motion one of my favorite gaming experiences that has ever happened.
Cool.
Also, if you've never played New Vegas, do a luck build. It's easy.
Don't put any points into charisma.
You really don't need it, even though it makes everything 1,000 times easier. But you really don't need it.
Do everything in speech.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what your charisma is. That's what I learned. Bow. Yeah. That's the courier. We're going to talk about some things quick, because you weren't here last week.
Yeah, let's get caught up. I was dead.
Bethesda is now owned by Microsoft. We're not going to talk about it too long. I just want to touch upon it with you quick.
Hallelujah. That's all I have to say.
I see big things coming in the near future.
It kind of uncrushes my hopes a lot, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we've obviously been very critical, and we've been pretty vocal about how they kind of went into the shitter recently,
mm-hmm.
and how Fallout 4 could have been a better game, and I'm just hoping that this new acquisition maybe helps to bring more amazing team members on, and really help to support the franchise in a way that it wasn't really getting before.
Yeah, I hope that. Well, did you hear that they did a massive overhaul to the engine with this money?
I did hear that.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to hear that because obviously after 76. They had to do something to up the game a little bit, so to speak. So, and now that we have new hardware coming out, it makes the most sense to do that. So now that we have an engine that can perform on modern hardware and support modern features, I think we're going to find some really interesting and creative entries into some of the Bethesda IP within the next like 2-3 years. I'm hopeful about it.
There's an Xbox podcast that I haven't listened to yet that I don't think it's like a regular thing. I think it's done by Phil Spencer, where they had, I want to say, Pete Hines and Todd Howard show up. I know Todd's there. I think Pete's there. But Phil Spencer came out and said he saw the unannounced projects Bethesda has, and he's very excited about them. I think what everybody's hoping for is that Obsidian will almost become like a pseudo Rockstar North to their Rockstar East or whatever. Because you know how Rockstar used to have like 14 different studios or 6 different mm-hmm. studios?
And you know what? I don't think that that's going to happen. I think Obsidian's going to maintain its individuality and... they're going to kind of keep doing their thing right now because they've been doing some really cool shit without Bethesda for a long time. And it's kind of weird that Obsidian's only really known for New Vegas, where they've got a lot of other amazing projects like Pillars of Eternity. I really want to try it. I think it looks really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked Outer Worlds. I mean, there's things about it that aren't perfect, but it's still something that I really enjoyed, and I think that having them now in this kind of same bubble is going to make for some really healthy competition.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think we'll ever get to see another Obsidian directed or developed or Fallout game?
Oh, I only hope so.
Yeah, that's kind of my hope, is that we'll get instead of having to wait a decade plus, because we're not even going to see anything about Fallout 5 or whatever the next Fallout game is until 2025. Like 2024 at the earliest. But I honestly don't expect to see that game until 2026, 2027. So I think if they had another group that could make like small installments, you know what I mean?
Yeah, even if they made like smaller, like non-numbered entries.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like New Vegas was 2, 3. I think that would be really cool. It wasn't small, but I'd even be okay with some smaller games. Like, I don't need a massive map. I don't have enough work waking hours to play a massive game right now.
Yeah,
I kind of just want to try some smaller projects, but I'm really like, I'm thirsty for something new.
Take Far Harbor or Nuka World and densely pack it.
Yeah, give me something the size of the Fallout 4 DLCs and I'd be happy. It's like a bite-sized it's a bite-sized work of literature.
Yeah. I'd like to see what's going on in Dogtown. They're never going to show that, but still.
Never know.
Well, Bethesda, I doubt will. But, comma. Speaking of them being bought out and whatnot, there's some Starfield leaks.
Ooh, this is the first I'm really hearing about that.
I heard about it, and I'm not super, you know me. Space really isn't my bag, but I'm on PCGamer.com. This is an article by Jody MacGregor. Thanks, Jodes.
The Jodester.
Rumor, Starfield images may have leaked. There's two images that will be on screen. One of a ship, the other one of a ship. With a guy next to the ship.
Wow, a ship.
Well, actually, there's two guys and whatever. There's two ships. Starfield is currently Bethesda's priority ahead of The Elder Scrolls 6. But apart from the teaser trailer at E3 2018, we haven't seen what their sci-fi RPG will actually even look like. Now a trio of images have appeared. Why am I only seeing two then? A trio of images have appeared on image hosting site Imgur, claiming to be leaked from Starfield. One of the in-game shots of an astronaut who appears to be standing on a space station. Another shows a close-up of a UI element from the first screenshot, and the third is a spaceship with some scorch marks and wear and tear. This does not seem to match the rugged and relatively realistic space frontier vibe we're expecting, and the font of the UI matches that on the watch teaser and sign up buttons on the Starfield website. So take these pics with a grain of salt, but they could be legit. I think that's
something that could very easily be spoofed. So yeah. I'm definitely taking that with a grain of salt myself.
Do you want to see them?
Too
bad you're getting it.
I guess, yeah. Just throw them in host lounge or something.
Yeah. If it is Starfield, we're not going to see it till 2021. Excuse me. So, I don't know. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind for me until I see something a little bit more concrete.
Yeah.
Like, if we get an announcement trailer at E3, then we'll talk about it. But until then, I got bigger fish to fry than some space leaks.
Yeah, I mean, part of me kind of hopes that it's like someone at Microsoft seeing it and leaking it.
I don't know. Like, I kind of feel weird about leaks.
What do you mean?
Because, like, I don't know, it just kind of makes things, it's like a little less fun, you know?
I somewhat disagree.
Really?
Somewhat. I get what you're saying.
It's kind of like spoiling the surprise.
Yeah, because when Fallout 4 got leaked, I went off the internet for like a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think certain things like this, because it's not spoiling, like, it's not like, oh, this is somebody shooting somebody in the face, and that's like, yeah. But, like, it's not, just...
Yeah. It's not, like, breaking the entire plot or anything. It's just, like, some sample
concept
images.
Art. It's concept art of something we've never seen before. So, like, I can't get hyped for something that I've never seen before.
Question.
Yes.
Do you think that Starfield is going to be dirty space or clean space?
It's going to be clean space.
You really think it's going to be clean space?
Yeah.
I kind of want some dirty space.
I love dirty space. I think that's the most... I think that's why I had such a hard time playing No Man's Sky, other than it not being finished. Because it was clean space?
At that time, yeah. Right now, No Man's Sky apparently is excellent, if you like go back to it.
Sure, but the taste that was left in my mouth is bad. I still have my copy. Like, I'm not, like... I think it's the only game on the PS4 that I ever deleted my save file of.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I still have mine for PC. I think I have my save on, like, Steam Cloud, but I haven't played since it came out, but hey, you never know. I might get back into it.
Maybe. If I had friends that would want to play it, maybe, but I don't have any interest in playing it. Right now, at least.
Yeah.
It's clean space, but that's something that, like, was kind of off-putting, is that it was clean space. And not dirty, filthy, grimy. Rusted. Like, that's the only... What's up?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's the only appeal for Star Wars for me, really, is that it's dirty space. I don't give a fuck about Jedi. I don't give a fuck about...
how dirty The Expanse is. Have I ever talked about The Expanse to you?
I don't think so.
It's this amazing space show where it's like... The main premise is it's a little bit farther in future Earth, where we colonized the moon and the asteroid belt and Mars.
Good shit.
So the moon is basically belongs to Earth.
Good
Mars
shit.
Mars had a war with Earth, so they're like neck and neck, but they're in like a stalemate. And then the asteroid belt is kind of like this free independent space, and it's like ruled by the Belters, and super dirty space. The Belters, it's super dirty space. And it's really cool. And oh, it's so freaking cool.
Like,
it's one of I recently rewatched it. Not like actually paid attention, but I just like had it on like in the background recently. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. I really like it.
What's it on?
It's unfortunately on Prime, but if you are interested in watching it, I can do things. We can watch it together.
Yeah, we could. We could do that. That sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
We
can hold hands, too.
Yeah, you wanna?
We can just, like, reach our hands in the popcorn at the same time, and, like, the hands will touch.
Yeah. I think that's it for this episode.
I think so, too.
I don't really think there's anything else to talk about. We did the lore.
Yeah.
Talked about some leaks. Talked about Microsoft.
Yeah, I don't think I have much else. I mean, my voice is kind of quitting on me, so.
Yeah.
In that case.
Happy October. It just turned October.
Doesn't really ever quit on us?
What's that?
Shane Ivers is
the
creator of our intro music called Feather Duster. You can get it at www.silvermansounds.com/freemusic/feather duster. Vince?
Yes.
This episode was made possible by a couple friends of ours.
The Patreon.
You want to talk a little bit about them?
Thank you to everybody who supports us on Patreon. We have to thank them. Because of them, we got to pay off all of our podcasting fees. I also bought this chair. So now I actually have
your
like
posture
a
is safe.
Chair. Yeah. It's a little weird because I'm used to mine. And this one doesn't have a great like headrest like the other one. This is more of like an ergonomic Like, I am going to work, and this
is... Do you feel very ergo? Are you super ergo right now?
I guess. My back doesn't hurt, and I've been sitting here for over an hour. So, I'm assuming also it has, like a latch, like a fucking handle on the side so I can go back, like a car seat. So
you can go all the way back, like, yeah. Zoom it back.
Yeah. But because of Patreon, and then we had even money left over, so we can do even more stuff, but this is...
More projects.
So thank you everybody for donating to us, to giving to us, because we paid for our podcasting fees and we paid for equipment quite literally for the show. Like, this sits in this corner and I write in it and I do what I have to do in it and then I don't touch it for anything else. This is not the chair where the clothes go because I'm too lazy to put them away.
yeah, my clothes go on the chair on the other side of my room.
Yeah. So, thank you a lot. We have to thank some people, I guess, individually.
First up, yeah, we're gonna thank individually. Thank you so much, Noah.
Thank you.
Here since the beginning to show us love. Thank you so much. Next up is Gage, but twice.
Thank you, Gage, twice. Once for the Patreon, and another time for the Discord. I think we're about to get into game nights again. I think game nights might start up again. So.
Oh, that means we have to thank Jordan with a Y.
Well, hold on, I'm not done, my guy. Wait a second.
Your guy.
You know what I mean. That's a fucking ubiquitous term.
You're right.
Because of Gage, we can do game nights. And we thank him for it. But the person who holds the game nights is...
Jordan with a Y.
Thank you, Jordan with a Y.
Thank you so much, Jordan. Next up is Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
And last but certainly not least is the incredible Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, everybody, for helping us out. We appreciate everything, seriously. Like I said, we paid off our... podcasting fees and bought equipment, and it's great to have some sort of validation.
It's great to feel loved.
I feel like I can't say enough. I really like, I'm at like a loss for words because I feel like whatever I say isn't going
to
be
enough.
You
don't have to say anything more, because if people want to say things to us, they can join our Discord and say
join
them
the
right
Discord.
At us.
Join the Discord so you can talk to us. There's also links to our socials in the description below. There'll be to my Twitter, her Twitter, the show's Twitter. And if you want to support us in any more of a way, there's a Redbubble where you can go and buy some stickers, a clock, a block, a duvet, a phone case, a book, bags. You buy something with a logo on it. We'll get a couple bucks out of it. You help the show grow, become bigger and better. And we appreciate that as well. I think that's everything that we have to say about everything. I think
that is everything that we have to
say
about everything.
We forgot something. What did we forget?
Did we forget something?
I feel like we forgot something. What did we forget?
We did Patreon. Shane Ivers. We did lore.
I think that's everything.
Yeah, it's everything.
Cool.
Man, we don't have Kyle here to say goodbye this time.
Kyle's a good guy. Kyle the Ascended.
Kyle's good. Guys, all right. Talk everyone, make sure you tell Kyle to say bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.